Welcome to the Advisory Accelerator Podcast, designed to help CPAs who serve clients interested in non-traditional services. If you're a public accountant looking to drive more value into existing client relationships, then tune in for tips on accelerating your advisory service offerings. Now, here's your host, Jeff Paulo.
Well, hello again, everybody. This is Jeff Paulo, and I am the president of the Engineered Advisory family of companies and your host for the Advisory Accelerator podcast, a show that works to help CPAs become more advisory-minded in their practices. On today's show, I'm happy to welcome Brad Gorto, the president of iClat Solutions, LLC, and the managing partner of the Gorto Law Group. Brad is based in Florida, where he's been practicing law for over 21 years, and like me, is also married to a woman named Cindy and the father of four kids, which, interestingly, also follows my personal pattern of having three boys, then the girl. So, Brad, I'm here to tell you that my princess is now a sophomore in high school, and those big brothers really come in handy at this stage of the game.
Well, my kids are going to follow your lead. I don't know how we planned that, Jeff, but it's quite a coincidence. Yeah, my daughter's going to be 10 this week, so I'm a few years behind you, but those brothers already help out quite a bit.
Well, trust me, we signed up for the right program. It pays off in spades, and you can't go wrong with that model. So let's jump in a little bit. I had the opportunity to get to know you and a little bit of what you do through your firm with the iClat product. A lot of our CPAs are dealing with high net worth individuals or perhaps somebody that has experienced a liquidity event. Maybe it's a signing bonus. Maybe it's the sale of their business. Maybe they won the lottery. But in many cases, folks are looking at ways to minimize the tax associated with that. And one of the things that struck me as being very poignant as you and I got to know each other a little bit better is that in many cases, what you're able to pull together with the iClat simply takes advantage of some charitable giving that the client is already doing, and it's just structuring it in a way that is going to be more tax efficient. So why don't we get started today and open up by letting you tell us a little bit about your practice and explain the iClat at a high level.
Sure thing, Jeff, and thanks for the opportunity. Yes, for the audience, I'm a tax attorney based in Florida, been practicing for 21 years. Throughout my law practice, I've had a strong emphasis in charitable planning, plan giving, and amongst that body of work, particular focus in charitable lead trusts for my entire career. All the iClat is I call it a plain vanilla reversionary charitable lead annuity trust. I got to take a breath there because the next part of it, which is treated as a grantor trust for income tax purposes. I know much of the audience are accountants and they probably understand exactly what I just said, but it's a mouthful. But all it is, it's been around for 40 plus years. And for the most part, this relatively simple tool has been ignored by our industry. And I'll throw my colleagues in the estate planning world under the bus is that in the world of charitable lead trust, my colleagues tend to focus on the more complicated variety that's trying to not only save income taxes, but also save a tremendous amount of estate taxes down the road or GST taxes. And that's a wonderful thing, but it only applies to a finite number of our clients because estate tax exemptions are so high. The iClat is stripped down, simpler form of charitable lead trust that I found in my career rather quickly that my clients care a heck of a lot more about income taxes than estate taxes. And that's what the iClat does. And that's one of the reasons it's called the iClat is it just focuses on capturing a very large deduction in the current year based on the client's anticipated level of annual giving, which most likely they're already doing. But we'll get into that a little bit more. But that's a little bit about me and how I operate as a practicing attorney. And I also do a specialization through iClat Solutions across the country for accountants and other advisors whom this tool works very well for in the given year.
So if I'm a CPA and I've got several clients that are entrepreneurial, maybe they're high net worth individuals, and I'm looking to be positioning myself as someone who is more advisory focused. So yeah, I'll do your taxes. Maybe we'll do some level of assurance for you, but I'm really trying to spend the little bit of non-billable time that I have being more relevant and more meaningful to a handful of key clients.
Right.
What is the profile that I might be looking for where a product like the iClad finds its sweet spot?
Perfect, because everyone's time is valuable, and this is just one tool. It's certainly not a Swiss Army knife. It's not for everyone. It just works phenomenally well in a particular client profile. And it's pretty broad. Your accountants, if you were to, you really want to bring this tool up for your clients who are already giving to one or more charities, including to their place of worship. This fits someone who ideally already gives between 10,000 and can get as high as 100,000 a year, but our common clients are giving already between 10 and 50 grand a year. And that's part of their financial plan. And you, as their accountant, you are familiar with their level of annual giving because you file their returns. So you want someone that's the first prong. You want someone who's already an annual giver or about to become an annual giver because they want to participate in the capital campaign at their alma mater, or they've had that liquidity event and they're trying to give back. But most people that look at this would consider themselves annual donors to charity. That's the first prong. The other prong, which accountants are privy to better than any other advisor, is a potential liquidity event that has already happened or it's about to happen. It's too close to do any pre-sale planning, and preferably ordinary income events. But the threshold's pretty low. I'd say around an event of around $350,000 would be the floor for the spike event. It could be much larger. But you want an annual giver with a spike income event, which can be capital gains and all that, but preferably ordinary income. That's client number one. So accountants, that's demographic number one. So think of all the clients you want to add value to. Think of all your clients that fit that profile. It's not everyone, but I imagine most of the audience does have quite a few clients that fit that category. The other demographic is someone who's making a lot of money now and is about to retire, and they already give between $10,000 and $50,000. And they'd like to capture that big deduction in the current year. And that's all the iClad does. It strategically captures a very large deduction in the current year, which is attributable to their annual giving. But those are so think about all the clients that y'all have. That's who you should be bringing this up with. There's a lot of other client fact scenarios that other tools work really well with, but that's pretty much it. We're seeing a lot in deferred comp or severance packages. People are leaving and their options are vesting and they got big income events. They're doing Roth conversions, pulling money out of traditional IRAs because the taxes are only going to get higher and higher. Banner K-1 years if they're an entrepreneur. You mentioned the lottery. We've had several in that situation. And the other is just, quite frankly, bonuses. Or did one for an attorney that had a large contingency fee for his representation. It's just capturing a big deduction in the year when your clients need it, however they want to continue to give on an annual basis. That's the unique part of it. But sorry for the long answer there, Jeff, but I wanted to give a defined example for the audience of those are the type of people they should be talking to this about.
No, that's fantastic. One of the things that we like to do on the podcast is really get to that level of detail, because there's a lot more folks that aren't going to qualify for a particular strategy, and we don't want to have our listeners wasting their time heading down what we know is going to be a dead end.
Exactly. But
just to recap that, so it seems like maybe two profiles. The common denominator between both is some kind of repetitive charitable giving. It may be something right. that you're doing now or something that you're planning to do between $10,000 and up to $100,000 a year. Right. And on one side, there was some kind of liquidity event where we're looking to mitigate the taxes on that, mm-hmm. work bonus, lottery, sale of the business, something like that.
Sure.
The other side may be, hey, I'm a high income earner, but I'm going to retire and my traditional revenue income stream that came from my job is going to go away. And right. so these charitable deductions that may happen in future years are going to be less valuable to me. Is there a way that I can pull them forward to maybe help me now? While the exactly. income is higher.
and that is the extent of the analysis. I'll use examples when I talk to people. Just like some people need a screwdriver, they have a screw and they need a screwdriver. That's what this is. You described the two scenarios where this tool works very well. And like you said, there's many clients and there's many other tools that work for, say, someone wants to diversify a highly appreciated position and likes to give money at death. We could spend a lot of time talking about all those other tools, and those are traditional charitable planning tools, and they also have estate planning benefits. This has nothing to do with any of that stuff. This has nothing to do with saving estate taxes. This has nothing to do with the important but much deeper dive. And accountants and lawyers, for that matter, we don't want to take our clients off of their grid longer than they need to be. We don't want them to get there successful. They want to spend their time doing what they're most successful working on. Many of the tools we bring up when they get into death and estate planning, that's like going to the dentist. The clients don't want to spend a lot of time talking about that. This is such a simpler type of tool to suggest to your clients than most of the tools in our toolbox, but it's just one of everyone's time is valuable. So I just always am very candid about this tool. It just really works better if they're already an annual giver, because you're not making them do something that they're not already doing. It's almost I pause to use the word no-brainer, because there's things you go through to make sure this is the right fit. But if you're bringing up this tool to a client who never gives to charity at all, but they like the income tax savings, well, you're going to be spending a lot of time teaching them the value of giving annually. And why not? It's just that much smoother of an engagement if they're already giving at those levels.
I think that's the thing that struck me in the couple of clients that we've approached about the strategy, is that you're doing this already, unlike some of the other tools that we might have in our toolbox, where I need to make some kind of an adjustment. I need to make an expenditure, or I need to make savings. This is, if you are already giving on a predictable level and you've had some kind of liquidity event or bonus or whatever the case may be, then just connect the dots. There's nothing else you need to do other than put a structure in place that's going to be a little bit more tax advantageous for you. And as a CPA, this is the kind of stuff that I think we should be bringing to our clients. And candidly, if they hear about it from our competitors, we end up looking like we've got a little bit of egg on our face. Because it's laying there right in front of us.
It's very well taken. Very good point. Very well taken. And it's exactly right. And I'm sure it's happened and maybe people haven't told me. But if you do your due diligence, which is minor here, you just think of your client base. If someone's already giving annually and they have one of these events, they're certainly not going to be upset at you for bringing this to their attention. I've never had anyone say, why are you wasting my time on this? But the key is, and there's goodwill that's built there. Like you said, it's to distinguish you from your competitors. And sometimes people have multiple tax advisors. And you're darn right. If someone else brings something up that you're not thinking of, that's where the rubber meets the road on client retention. And then think of all the other service. If someone's giving between 10 and 50 grand of their assets to charity, most likely that is your ideal client. They most likely have significant net worth and need other planning. They might have a business. They're probably very influential people in the community where you're trying to build goodwill. There's not a lot that can go wrong by bringing up a tool that adds value to their current annual giving. And one last thing, I'll be remiss. A lot of my clients have private foundations or have donor advised funds or both. And the annual payments from an ICLAT can go into those vehicles. They can fund family-controlled charitable entities. So there's a lot of integration opportunities. But the purpose of today's call, I know, is just to explain, let people know that it's out there. We're not going to get into spreadsheets and all that type of stuff. But it's certainly, we could go through a simple example and the listeners would understand kind of the mechanics of it. There's a couple steps that are involved, but I think they're going to be pleasantly surprised when they realize how uncomplicated this is compared to a lot of the things that we've put in front of our clients that make their eyes cross.
So and trust me, having worked with CPAs for over 25 years now, that simplicity is appealing. Let's talk through the mechanics. So I'm a partner in a firm. I've got several clients that, as I listen to the podcast, I think they might be good candidates for this. How do I connect the dots to work with Brad? And before you answer that, let me just paint the picture for reality in the public accounting profession. I've got a good gig with some really good clients who have to come to me to do their taxes every year. And if I'm doing some level of assurance or having to come back and do that every year, so I've got this annuity in place. And the last thing I want to do is refer my client to somebody that does a poor job that somehow reflects poorly on me. And as a result of that, I lose this great relationship. And that's one of the great barriers that we encounter where CPAs may be reluctant to extend the referral because they're like, look, at the end of the day, the juice isn't worth the squeeze. And so talk a little bit about if I'm an accounting firm partner and I'm working with you, how do I reach out? How do we work together? How do you keep me informed along the way? Is there any ancillary work that I'm going to be expected to do as a result of the strategy? Just paint the picture of what that ecosystem looks like.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And that's very important. First off, there's two things I want to say. The first is this planning is not done in any type of silo. You're front and center. The accountant has almost always the greatest connection, more so than the attorney or the financial planner, with the nitty-gritty of the client's scenario. The accountant's opinion is incredibly crucial to making sure this is a good tool. And through the due diligence, the accountant is on the phone. I'm not a CPA, so I'm certainly not going to be stealing clients, for lack of a better term, or suggesting things outside of my lane. This is an advisor-centric due diligence to make sure it works best for the client. And no engagement letter is signed until the accountant agrees that this is a good tool. To the other point that you brought up about additional work that may be created, the ICLAT is what is called a split interest trust in the Internal Revenue Code. It doesn't pay taxes, but it does have to file two returns with the IRS. Not all accountants like to do these returns because they're not done every day, but always I direct that work back to the accountant. I don't want to do that work. And these annual returns that need to be filed, the one that's a little complicated is the Form 5227, which is just a reporting return. That's additional work for the accountant to do. And the other is a grantor trust 1041, which is extremely simple to do. Everything I do is, and the tool is positioned, the strategy is positioned to add value to your client base, to your practice. I'm going to add value to your relationship. That's one of my objectives. I'm just someone that comes alongside you for a particular engagement, and I do everything. And then when it comes time to report the deduction, my engagement includes everything that you will need to file. We just got done with it. The tax season just wrapped up. And we just got done with last few weeks with ones from last year. We give everything to the CPAs. So 9 months later, they don't have to go back to report the deduction and figure out what everyone did. So it's a very hands-on type of engagement, but focused on the other advisors agreeing with our recommendations.
That collaborative approach is just so key, and it sounds like you understand the nuance and the importance of that spades. So I'm intrigued. How do I reach out? What's the best way to get in touch with you? Some people prefer email, some prefer call, text. If I want to reach out to Brad to learn more about the ICLAT, because I've got a couple clients that I think are going to benefit, how do I get in touch?
Well, great. My email address is brad@iclat.net. The website, iclat.net, there's a couple tools on there. I'll give my phone number as well. There's a couple tools on there that allow you, because time is of the essence, where we're not playing phone tag and email tag. There's free illustration tools. There's calculators. But if someone wants to reach me on the phone, they can reach me at 844-464-2528. That's 844-464-2528. Drop me an email at brad@iclat.net. I'd be happy to help. I'd say every single day, but on our website, we have a free illustration tool. everyone's time is very valuable. What we do almost daily is get out illustrations, and they can say, let's say the accountant's name is John. I don't need the client's name. Our team doesn't need the client's name, but you put down some basic facts, and our team turns around custom illustrations for you to put in front of your clients to make sure that they, to see if it's a good fit and they want to go from there. And then we set up some calls, and again, there's no fees. Introductory calls are part of the due diligence to make sure it's a good fit. But I would encourage everyone to use those resources, because no one likes playing a week worth of phone tag and email tag. And part and parcel of that process is quickly identifying if your client is a good candidate for this particular tool. Sometimes they're not, and there's another tool that they might want to consider.
Brad, let me ask you this. In the current interest rate environment, where we predict that rates are going to continue to rise over the foreseeable future, a lot of people are starting to move a traditional 401k into a Roth or what have you. Clearly, that creates a taxable event. Can iClad help with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And people are doing that knowing the tax hit that they're going to face now, because the benefits down the road are exponential. And many people are having those discussions. Someone can play hero for that client in that relationship, particularly if they're already an annual giver. Now, a lot of folks would just say, well, tell the client to write a big check to charity. That the operative term is bunch. Let's get out the checkbook and write a $300,000 check to one charity, and that'll be your future giving. Put it in a DAF, and we'll mitigate the Roth conversion tax hit. And I tell people that's great for someone who wants to part ways with $300,000 or whatever the number may be. What an iClad allows you to do is get almost the same deduction. You keep the $300,000, and let's say it's $1 million IRA or 401k conversion that you're doing. Well, that's going to generate somewhere between $300,000 to $400,000 of taxes. But if they did a simple iClad, let's just use a real simple example, Jeff. Let's say they get $30,000 typically, and they want to give, let's do a 10-year. They wanted to give $30,000 for 10 years. Well, that's $300,000. Like we said, they could obviously write a check for $300,000, but let's assume they don't want to do that. Well, they set up an iClad account with their current advisor. They're the trustee of it. No control changes, but they have to open up a new account. And that new account is where their annual giving of $30,000 a year will go to or come from. And then at the end of the term, whatever's in that account will revert back to them in a non-taxable transaction. That's the steps of the iClad. Well, if they do it that way, they're going to get a deduction today of around $270,000.
Wow.
And notice they're not writing a check for $270,000. They're just promising to do what they're already doing of paying $30,000 to charity each year. So let's get back to your Roth. The Roth conversion, $1 million 1099 will be issued. Well, why don't we just turn that into a $725,000 income event, because you got a $270,000 deduction. My math, I'm overly generalizing here. But it's a tax mitigation tool that just strategically leverages almost all of that giving in the year where you need it. And I'd say by far, Jeff, the Roth conversions, the deferred comp, I wouldn't use the word unprecedented. Well, it is an unprecedented shift of people getting out of qualified money to take advantage of Roth, the Roth conversion, the backdoor Roth, to get that tax-free treatment moving forward. It's a wonderful way to soften that blow and to make it more appealing to clients. And but that's a general math. So let's assume that $270,000 deduction, someone's at the top bracket, that's saving them $100,000 of federal taxes. And let's just pick a state. Let's say South Carolina, which has a 7% income tax. That's going to save them another $19,000 at the state level. So that's like $120,000 of tax savings for doing what? For doing something they're already doing.
Yeah, that's the big thing. Doing nothing beyond what I'm already doing if I'm already a charitable giver on a consistent basis. Okay, so now we've got three populations. So again, assuming that you're an existing charitable giver, you're doing that repetitively, this is the slam dunk, if you will. And I've had a liquidity event, I've had a bonus, I'm about to retire, and my wage income is going to plunge. or I'm doing some kind of conversion to a Roth event. All of these would be great opportunities for me to bring this idea forward to a client. And it's not that we can't do it with someone who's not currently giving, if they want to start giving as part of their strategy going forward. But for somebody who's already accustomed to this, it's really just restructuring what you're already doing to be more tax efficient for you.
That's exactly, and I'm glad we reiterated that point. The accountant's time is valuable. The client's time is valuable. And if you want to have the most congruent, receptive response to your recommendation, it just helps if they're already annual givers. I like to say it's certainly not a prerequisite. It's just a different type of recommendation and engagement because they have to buy into the value of becoming an annual philanthropist. Again, we're not talking about a Rockefeller or a Zuckerberg type philanthropist. We're talking about people that give between 10 and 50 grand a year. That's 10 grand is less than $1,000 a month to people in the faith-based community, particularly who are faithful in their giving. They're already hitting that. And with the standard, and I'll say this, and the accountants certainly know this, if someone's giving between 10 and 20 grand a year in charitable giving right now, particularly if they're married, they're not getting a dime of tax savings because the standard deduction is like 24, 25,000, depending on the inflation adjustments. And of course, they could give out of their IRAs if they're over 70, 70 and a half. But it's hard for people to get any tax savings these days if they're giving strictly between 10 and 20 grand a year. So this is it's a wonderful suggestion and opportunity to deepen those relationships. Even if they don't do an ICLAT, they're certainly going to appreciate you bringing it up. And it's a way to distinguish you from others. And I can't tell you how many times I'll be talking to someone and yet they get it. They see the value of it. Sometimes we'll explore using other assets to fund it, like rental property or oil and gas or crypto. And they'll say, you know what, this isn't quite the fit for me. And a lot of times the accountant's on the phone as well. And it just naturally leads into another idea, another planning tool. And I know you better than I do. This is just one tool in the toolbox. And goodness, you might learn of a credit that they can take advantage of, or they're not doing a cost segregation with their business, or they have some appreciated assets they're trying to diversify tax-free and they can't do a 1031. It all just naturally leads to other opportunities as well.
So, you could not be any more spot on with that. You know, once we start having these meaningful conversations with our clients, it just seems they always branch off and you end up with a lot more than what you initially thought you were going to talk about, which is the name of the game. The clients want us to be advisory oriented. The landscape is so complex that they can no longer try to do this themselves effectively. And I can appreciate that CPAs are slammed. It seems like the tax law is changing substantially with every election cycle these days. But with the little bit of non-billable time that you've got, to start with a conversation about something like this, not only could they be providing a tremendous benefit to their clients where this qualifies, not for everybody, but where it qualifies, but I wonder where else that conversation is going to lead. So this is fantastic. Brad, anything else before we wrap up that you want to pass along to our listeners?
I would. One key piece is the deduction that I mentioned before, going back to the, unfortunately, we're talking to an audience of accountants who will understand this. And if we were talking to the general public, I may not bring this up. The deduction is high because this is a present value calculation based on the IRS's 75-20 rate. And the reason you're getting a deduction for $270,000 for the promise to give 30 grand a year for 10 years is that's just simply the present value of that promise to give to charity. Very important, particularly as CPAs and accounting firms are coming up for air after the tax season. As interest rates rise, and they are, literally, as we're speaking, the deduction will get smaller. So if we did one, I'm not trying to rush people, but what I'm telling people is if you wait till October, November, December, we could be at 4% interest rates by then. Starting in May 1st, we'll be able to use 2%. There's rumors that it's going to jump up to 3% soon. So if we're doing the same ICLAT in May versus December, your tax savings will probably be about $15,000 or $20,000 greater just because you got it done earlier in the year. We're going to be doing more of these than ever in the summer months because most years the interest rates are flat over one calendar year. And as all of our listeners know, that is not the case right now with inflation on the horizon.
Great advice. And here we are on the last day of the tax season for 2021. The accountants are going to free up. And it's not that they're not busy, but they've got a little bit of window right now to be having these conversations. And we certainly want to encourage them to do that because the interest rate landscape is going to be different on a quarterly basis. It's just, I don't think anybody would be in a disagreement with that. Let's have the conversations early. Let's have them often. Brad, I want to thank you so much for spending some time with us today. And again, for those of you that want to look into this a little bit further, iclat.net. Ton of information, ton of resources, and all the information you need to get in touch with Brad. I want to thank you for spending the time and look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thank you, Jeff, for the opportunity. It's been a pleasure.
Take care, everybody.
And there we have it. Another episode focused on helping our CPA listeners accelerate their firm's advisory practice. The Advisory Accelerator podcast is sponsored by the Engineered Advisory family of companies, Engineered Tax Services, The Growth Partnership, Able CRM, and Inside Public Accounting. Learn more about how we help CPAs accelerate their advisory practices at engineeredadvisory.com. Until next time, this is Jeff Paulo signing off and wishing you nothing but success as you transition your firm from compliance to advisory.